Those of you who didn't get my newsletter that I just sent out, as Mike said, we are building a house right now, and I want to thank mainly Mike and Brent for helping us do that house, since they're doing it out of love for me and for Bill, helping us in our houses, and they get nothing out of it but a few muscles maybe, and once in a while my wife brings them out some cookies or something, but they do it just out of love, and I appreciate them helping us on that house. Open your Bibles tonight to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just last night I was thinking, what would I do if someone ever stole my message? Amen. And the Lord is trying to test me, see what I do.
We'll see what you're going to do.
I still know what I do. No, he didn't steal my message, I don't think. He just touched on it, and I...
You're going to give us the death now, right?
I want to read chapter 4. Excuse me, verse 4. But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do want to please you in all we do. And we ask you for forgiveness, Lord, for the times that we have pleased others or tried to please ourselves. We ask you to make us more like you, when we want to please the Father always in all we do. Bless this conference, bless the meeting tonight, bless all that is said, and might bring glory and honor your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this verse, I was looking through my Bible the other night, and just kind of popped out to me, pleasing God. Not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. You know, it's a glorious thing here. We've been entrusted with the gospel.
Right.
All of us, the ones on the field, the ones preaching in the rescue mission, the ones who preach at the job, the housewives, we've all been entrusted with the gospel. Don't think that just because you're not a full-time missionary that you're not entrusted with the gospel. We've all received that ministry of reconciliation, and I believe we need to be careful and make sure we do what we should with what God has given us. Whatever gift God has given us, whatever gift He's given you, I think you need to be careful. Make sure you do to the best of your ability. Not as pleasing men, not pleasing yourself, not pleasing church, not pleasing men, not pleasing the lost, pleasing God.
Amen.
Because God is one who tries our hearts. I'm going to ask you tonight, I ask myself the same question, and I know the answer is, do you please God? We have times, we all have our peaks in our ministry where we really believe that we're doing what we should be doing, and that our ministry is to an extent pure motives and all the rest. But entangled with the affairs of this life, that He may please Him who has chosen Him to be a soldier. You get entangled once in a while. Tangled up in this world. Tangled up with entertainment. Tangled up with television. Tangled up with your job. Tangled up with so many things. You know, these last 6 months have been a real, sort of a test, I guess. Because we haven't really worked a real study as far as a job, you know, since we've been down there. But 6 months ago, we started building the house, and we worked from 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning till about 3 p.m. And then came the ministry. You know, it was so easy to get so caught up within in your mind and your head the things of the house. How to do this and how to do that and buying this and buying that. And it seemed like once a week at least, you'd get tied up with something and you couldn't just drop it at 3 o'clock. You had to finish it off, you know, and it's so easy to get tangled up. It's so easy to let little things tangle you up and get your eyes off of pleasing the Lord, and you end up pleasing your boss, or you end up pleasing other people, or another bad thing, you end up pleasing yourself. You know, sometimes we feel sorry for ourselves. You know, I don't have any time for myself, and you know, I need to take some time for myself. And we end up using that excuse just to bring gratitude to our flesh. And we need to be careful. And we don't let little things, pleasures and things and this old world get us all tangled up in things that don't really matter.
Right.
Things that aren't really important. Things that tomorrow you could do or the next day. Or things that could probably be left undone forever.
Right.
But we get in our mind that it's got to be done. I think I shared this last year. I'm not sure if I did or not. But I read a little phrase in a book one time. I picked it up and opened it up and I read this little phrase. It says, too many times we let the urgent things in life take place of the important things in life. And I realized, and it just hit me, you know, how many times during the day do we think this has just got to be done? Or this is just an urgent thing that's got to be done right now. And we end up putting the important things, the things that really matter, aside for something that seems at that moment very urgent. You've got to have this, or I've got to do that, or I've got to, whatever it is. Things that seem so urgent, many times are not urgent at all, and they're not even important.
That's right.
They're just things that we feel like we've got to do, or we want to do. And I'm not trying to say that we should throw our TV away, or not buy a new car, or not go to the movies, or things like that. I'm just saying, we need to be careful not to get tangled up. Do the important things first. Do things that really matter,
amen.
And then after that, the time you've got left, you do the things that come second or third. Have you been chosen to be a soldier? Have you really been chosen to be a soldier? If you have, it says in verse 3, you need to endure hardness,
amen,
as a good soldier. Endure hardness. I mean, who are you there to please? Are you there to please all the privates around in the army? Are you here to please the general? The one that has chosen you to be a soldier, we need to make sure we're pleasing him. And then other things fall afterwards. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6. How can we please God? I think that ought to be the prayer. And one of the prayers that we pray every day. You know, there's a lot of things we need to pray daily. You know, ask God for forgiveness or ask Him for His blessing. But what we need to ask God every day is, Lord, how can I please You today?
Amen.
What can I do to please You?
Amen.
Because when I get done with this life, when I get down to the end of the road, I want to have a testimony like Enoch had, and he pleased God.
Amen.
And he pleased God. Oh, maybe they'll say that I didn't please too many people, that I didn't please too many customs officials at the border, or I didn't please too many policemen in Aguascalientes, but I want to be said that I pleased God.
Amen.
Says here, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And nowadays we have so many different churches or denominations that make us think that faith is something sort of pie in the sky. You know, it's faith that you kind of muster up and you do great things. You can heal the sick and you can have your form of money. All kinds of things that don't mean a thing in the world at all to me. I mean, I don't even understand where they get it all. Faith is very simple. You just believe God.
Right.
You believe what God says. Believe the word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And you know, in the idea of evangelism, the idea of missions, of winning souls, it is important to have faith. I have found many a people in the last 7 years who are trying to win souls, but without faith. Or they have faith, but they have faith in their own ways. They have faith in their own words, or their own plans, or their own concoctions, all the little ways of talking, of crying, of all these things that they might use to try to win souls, and they really don't have faith. We need to have faith in one thing, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says he wasn't ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
Because it is the power of God. Oh, they say, well, you have to have this, or you have to do that. Let me tell you, only Paul had was the gospel. Only Paul had was the gospel. And I'm not saying that you can't use other things. I'm not saying you can't use films or singings or a guitar. I'm simply saying that to win souls, you must have faith in a gospel that is powerful to change lives.
Amen.
You must have faith in something besides man's own inventions.
Amen.
It's not just a thing you go to school, to seminary, and learn the 10 steps, and as long as you follow those 10 steps right, well, you'll have someone saved. We need to have faith in the gospel. We need to trust the book says.
Amen.
You know, when we first started preaching in Leon on the street, Bill and I had gone for about 2 years, sort of blind, sort of wandering around, not knowing exactly what to do, getting very discouraged. The few times in my life when I've thought about quitting was those 2 years in Leon. Let me tell you, I don't think very often. I don't really think about giving up very often. But those 2 years, a few times, I really came down to think, you know, what am I doing here? I mean, I feel like I'm just sitting here taking offerings from people, and I'd come back to the States and I'd say, well, we're still trying to win souls. And then after about 2 years, I came back and I said, well, we had one soul saved the other day. And that was the truth. One soul saved. Anyway, we were showing films for a while, and we decided we didn't want to do that anymore. We went to Guanajuato and tried something there, and then Brent came down. That was sort of a breath of fresh air, some new blood, you know? And I'm not sure who came up with the idea. It may have been Brent, it may have been, I don't think it was me. I don't think I was bold enough to think of that, but the idea came up of preaching on the street. Without a microphone, without a PA system, just get out there and preach on the street. And, by myself, I probably would have never done it. By myself, I probably would have said, no, I just can't do that. But maybe just because there's the three of us there, we sort of help each other out and sort of were encouragement to each other. And so we stepped out and started doing that, just trusting that God would bless His Word. Trusting that the gospel going out on the street would be blessed by the Lord, and it was. And I thank the Lord for the work there in Leon. You know, you want to please God, you got to have faith. You got to have faith in what He has established. What He has established to use to save souls is the gospel. You got to have faith in that gospel. I find myself too often sidestepping the Bible, maybe reading a verse and then taking 3 hours to give my own explanation. And I believe we ought to explain and interpret the scriptures, but I think we need to make sure we're using the scriptures to deal with men. Because it's not my words, not my... You know, it's amazing how often I think that I can explain the gospel so clearly. You know, how many times in my ministry, if I sit with somebody, you know, some days it just clicks. You know, some days my Spanish is... I know the words, but my lips just don't work sometimes. My throat just don't work. Even in English, I have a hard time. You probably know that. But some days, you know, it all clicks. My mind is right. My mouth is just loose and my throat feels good and clear, and I can preach, and then I can talk to somebody, and I can just give them the gospel step by step as clear as I can ever, could ever do it. And I get done and they say, that's very nice. That's very nice. And, I say, well, what are you going to do about, and I ask them about something I dealt with, where it's images or the priest, or, well, what's wrong with that, you know? What's wrong with that? And then I realize, they didn't hear a word I said. And it happens even when you preach out of the Bible to them. I understand that. But you know, it's not our word. It's not my way of convincing them or explaining better than the Bible could. It's the gospel itself that touches men's hearts. We need to make sure that we have faith in the gospel. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe.
Amen.
You know what pleases God? It's the foolishness of preaching. Whether it's on the street, whether it's here in the church, whether it's with your friend at work, it's the foolishness of preaching that saves souls. You know, I thought Mike was talking about the way we preach and how we need to be bold. And the whole idea of preaching, the whole idea, you look back and you read the book of Acts, and you find the apostles, when they go out and they preach, there is no sissies over there in that bunch. I mean, they're not over there handing out free balloons or free watermelons. They're not out there trying to do it easy. They are preaching the truth because they have faith in the truth, and they are for sure God will bless the truth.
Amen.
Boldness.
Amen.
The whole idea of preaching is the boldness of it. Bill touched on that last night. Getting out there and just the idea of being on the corner. Just being out there in the middle of nowhere or downtown in front of the Alamo, just preaching the Bible. It comes across being very bold. And I believe we need to be careful that we need to be sure that we're out there being bold, tearing down the foundations of false religion. We have found too many people that are too scared to tell these lost souls what it really is. They're too scared to tell them that their virgin will not save. They're too scared to tell them that this doll won't do a thing for them. They don't say it can, but they just sort of sidestep it. They sort of go around. And they think they may have to talk about that later on down the line. And let me tell you, you look back, you read about the prophets in the Old Testament. I mean, when the Lord told Gideon to go down and tear down that altar, that image of Baal, Gideon went and did it. The Lord didn't say, well, go then build an altar to me and leave Baal sitting there, and in time they'll understand to tear down Baal. No, he went over and he just tore that thing down first.
Right.
You know, we need to tear down the foundations, the false foundations that religion has laid down, we need to tear them down and build something new. We're not trying to improve religion. We're not trying to take an old farmhouse and sort of dress it up a little better so it looks a little nicer. We're trying to tear down all that's there and start with a new foundation. Tear down the house, tear down the foundation, put a new foundation, and then you'll build a house and it'll stand. We need to tear down the old foundations, the foolishness of preaching. That's what Paul did. And the fourth thing I want to speak on, I don't have a verse for it, but I believe it's true. It is true. It's in the Bible. It doesn't say anything about pleasing God, but you find Jesus talking to the Pharisees time after time about their hypocrisy. And I believe to please God, we need to be real.
That's right. Amen.
You know what turns most lost people off about TV preachers and radio preachers and maybe even some street preachers? You can see right through them. I mean, they don't fool me. I don't think they fool the lost people.
Right.
You know, I think, in fact, many so-called Christians are more fooled than the lost out there. I mean, I know a lot of Christians that love all these phonies, and the lost people, they hate their guts. You know why? Because they're not real. They're just not real.
Amen.
And you want to please God, you better be real.
Amen.
I mean, if you want to please God, what do you care what your neighbor thinks about you? You want to please God, you do what God tells you to do. You want to worry about God. Just kind of go home where I stand like a holier than thou. Tries our hearts.
Amen.
Another thing about being a missionary. A missionary is supported full time by one church. You know, it's not a real big thing if you've got $50 coming in from 200 churches. Because you can lose a church, you can lose two churches, and you might be alright. But supported full-time by one church, one group of people. Sometimes I find myself trying to be a phony, trying to make you believe I'm something I'm really not. And I asked God, just the other day, I guess the first day of the conference, yesterday, I was thinking about how I need to ask the Lord to help me to be real.
Amen.
This week, be real.
Amen.
You probably know my kids are real. You've probably seen them fall asleep during Billy's preaching last night and during my preaching yesterday morning. But I want to be real.
Amen.
I want to be real to the lost in Mexico. I want to be real to God.
Amen.
I want to make sure I am right with God. I don't want to be a hypocrite with God. And I don't want to be a hypocrite with you people.
Right.
I want to be real in all that I do, because you read the woes in Matthew about hypocrites. It'll make you shudder. Well, we need to please God. You know, the only thing that will have eternal recompense is what we do to please God.
Right.
What you did to please man doesn't make a matter of hill of beans up in glory. What you did to please yourself means nothing at all when this old body goes down to the grave. What you did to please all the people, whether it's religion, whether it's your boss, whether it's your pastor, whether it's anybody here, if you did it just to please them, then mean a thing up in glory. And one day we're going to sit on the judgment seat of Christ. And we need to pray and ask the Lord. Not only pray, but also strive to please the Lord in all that we do. There are many things that I could share about how to please God, but these four things, pleasing God by faith, preaching the gospel, tearing down the foundations, being real with everybody out there, being real with yourself, with God, with the people, with the church. We need to please God. Amen.
Amen.